Nice to see you all this morning. I wonder if we could turn all the lights off, please, apart from the safety lights. Is that possible? And, oh, that's all right. You can see me. Well, I'm doing the fourth in the series, or third in the series, I should say. We'll come to that in a minute. But it's been quite a difficult prep for me because you get told in advance about 4 weeks what you're speaking on. So I've been working it through in my mind exactly what I'm going to say, getting my visual aids. And then in the week before you speak, you start putting it into paper. You start typing it up. And as I started typing it up and doing my PowerPoints, a crisis occurred. My prep was totally wrong. And I couldn't work out why. And I realized what I was going to ask, I had to move things around, and I got it there. And then John texted me during the week, which totally blew me away. I've got to find this text now. Bob Kirby Maynard will be joining us on Sunday morning. He informs me. Now, that means nothing. That puts the fear of God into me. He was my boss when I was a youth leader at the age of 18. He taught me everything I knew. And we used to do covenanters, boys 13 to 18, weren't they? And you know that little hall down the road here on the stilts? We had that as our games room. Now, all these kids came from Ladyshot, big Catholic families, and they were violent. And we used to play a game called British Bulldog. Basically, the idea was you'd have one person in the middle, and you had to run to the other side. And the idea, they had to bring you onto the ground. And you get a dozen, remember, Bob? They would try, if they got you on the ground, they would just kick you and punch you, wouldn't they? And that was just Bob, let alone the kids on you. I said, I'm quite nervous this morning, Bob here. He's come all the way, not knowing, because if he knew I was just speaking, he wouldn't have come, I'm sure. It is good to see you. It really is. It goes back a long way. And we're talking about 44 years ago. I was only three at the time. No, but it's a long time ago. And now we're going through some of the stories of what God's done and such like in those days. And then putting this together, everything's gone wrong. My tablet, which I put my notes on, I was holding it yesterday morning. I said, Louise, and the back is glass. It's all completely shattered. This will be the last time this tablet will be used. I know. And so what we're doing this series, God, who is he? So 2 weeks ago, Dave spoke on God is suffering. Then last week, John did God is Father. Next week, Dave is doing God is holy. And the following week, God is eternal. And I am doing the omnis of God. Doesn't quite scan like the rest of them, does it? And you're all going, what are the omnis? That is a very good question I hear you ask. Please, at least one of you. Thank you. Now, the omnis is just a Greek word that means all. Simple as that. And yet, I'm going to look at four this morning. Omnificent, omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. Now, I appreciate these words you never use in your daily language. And John said he's never heard of the first one, omnificent. But they are the attributes of God. And I want to explore them this morning. And the challenge for me up here teaching is I realized this year I need to raise my game when I speak. Because I'm teaching the very word of God. And the Bible indicates I will be judged slightly higher than you. Because what I say has to be balanced and correct as possible. So errors and omissions accepted. And I want to look at these four, then see how it applies to you and me. So let's go through. The first one, omnipotent, means the unlimited creative power of God. The fact that God did this creation. It says in the beginning of Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. That all creativeness that God had, he could create the universe known. And I've no idea how big the universe is. According to mathematicians, if I start walking this way, I end up just behind me. It is finite. According to mathematicians. I listened to it on the radio many years ago and I understood it. So when the program finished, I thought I'd explain it back to myself and got totally lost. But the idea that God's creative power is incredible. And then he goes on, having created the universe, it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God doesn't specify dogs here. Because whenever I see people train dogs, they do their own thing. Until one day, I was walking my daughter, walking her Labrador, and I said, look, Jennifer, watch out. There's a woman coming to us with two dogs off the lead. Now, our dog's an alpha dog. And Jennifer said, don't worry. And all this woman went like this. She just put her two fingers down like that. And these two dogs just walked by her side and sat down. I've never seen such training like it. Now, I have a way of annoying my wife. I know there are many ways you may say I'm annoying my wife. But one is, when we sit outside, you know, having dinner in the garden, and the wasp appears, I just say, go. You have no authority. Clear off. And invariably, they go. And that really annoys her, because when she does it, they linger around and stay. But the Bible says, I'm in charge of these animals. I wouldn't suggest going into the African bush when there's lies about and trying that. I'm happy to try it with a wasp. But actually, you know, be fruitful and increase. And then it says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through all him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And in fact, that the fact this God is the ultimate creator. When I get home this morning, Louise is not here because she's childminding. And little Jack will get the Lego box out. And I'm the ultimate creator according to him. But you're limited according to the bricks. But God has got an imagination that is magnificent. It's incredible. It's awesome. He can make things that I can't even dream of. I said to somebody once, when God was making the dinosaurs, was he having a laugh? You look at the giraffe, was it designed by a committee? And now we see these. I can remember watching David Attenborough programs in the 60s in black and white. At a distance, you'd see some animal in black and white. But now, the cameras get down into insects. It gets the robotic animals right up close to the animals, and you can see them in all their, well, their magnificence. And the detail in creation is absolutely incredible. And God says, you are made in his image. Omnipotent. Again, the ultimate, unlimited and complete power. Being used in creation. And I discovered something. Did you know that in the NIV Bible, the word Almighty is used 333 times? I went through counting them, 333 times. And it's a word that's only used about God himself. It doesn't occur anywhere else in our language. You might say, Barry, you're pretty mighty. I know that. But I'm not almighty, omni-mighty. And the word almighty means omnipotent 333 times in the New Testament. And it says, as we in Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, the starry host by the breath of his mouth. Not just that creative power, but that continuing power that he has. A father in Job 4:22 can do all things. We expect our father to have the power in heaven to do all things. Jesus holds the power of creation. Nature was involved in its creation. While on earth, he did miracles of power. Of nature and illness and demons. The Holy Spirit was involved. The Lord's omnipotence extends to Satan and the demons. Satan could not test Job without the Lord's permission. Demons fear him. God's power to save you and me, it's all powerful. And yet, there are things that God can't do. Have you considered that? What God can't do? There's quite a list. Now you may say, Barry, you're getting on the dodgy territory now. Let me tell you one thing God can't do. God does not have the power to lie. It says in Hebrews 6:18, plain that God cannot lie. Why not, it says? Because he is good. He can't be forced to act in a way that's contrary to his nature. Also, God can't make 2 and 2 equal 6 instead of 4. I know he created these, but he saw fit that these natural laws would dictate. And God does not lack in power. He's used his power to establish certain outcomes. He's in the creation. He's in the daily lives that we live because he's omnipotent. He's also present in all places at all times. And what that means is, in his completeness is with you. Now, for those on Zoom, you're with us, but you're not with us. You know, I can talk to people on the phone, but I love seeing people's eyes. Then you know what they're really feeling. And God is omnipresent. And that's a fundamental attribute to my faith in him, because I know that when he's talking to John, he can still be talking to me. If I had to wait my turn in the queue, I may never get to see God. And that vital importance is, it says in the Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. A God that is in all places. Omniscient. Unlimited understanding and knowledge. Out of our understanding comes wisdom. It says in Romans chapter 11, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how unscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given him a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory. Amen. A.W. Tozer, a commentator some years ago, said this, because God knows all things perfectly, he knows no thing better than any other thing, but all things equally well. He never discovers anything. He's never surprised, never amazed. He never wonders about anything, nor, except when drawing men out of their own good, does he seek information or ask questions. All knowing. That adds a bit of embarrassment for me, because I do things in my life, and God's watching. I think things in my mind, and God hears. I do things which I know are wrong, and yet God understands and still loves me. And at times I wish that God would look away, but he doesn't. And I can say this morning, the Lord Almighty is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. I've got my Lord is, that God is. But the thing is, I've always known this. I've been a Christian for nearly 50 years, been in this church for nearly 60, and I've known all this. And actually I'm thinking, why am I actually looking at it again? I've never taught on this before. The fact that God is everywhere, that God is all-knowing, that God is all-powerful, I know that. I have no doubts about it. But I do want to pose a question. Because now that I've got older and I've just retired, I feel old. Not because my bones are aching. I've become the grumpy old man when I watch the news and read the newspaper. The world I grew up with seems to be changing rapidly. I don't understand things and things people do. And I ask this question, where is God in a post-Christian era in our Western societies? As I said a few weeks ago, I listened to this German parliamentarian saying, we're in a post-Christian era. The church is declining in the Western societies of Europe and across America. Now, we can publicly say the Christian church is growing on a daily basis, only because in Africa and the Far East, it's growing quicker than we are in Europe. But it's the wrong question. It's not where God is, because God hasn't changed. But is mankind becoming more and more lost? And that is the bit I got struck by as I started preparing, because I can teach you about these four words, but what's the application? What's the point of it? You know it. You accept God is everywhere. Then I thought, why is the world going like this? And what struck me is the devil has one mandate. Quite simple. It's to lead people away from the Lord Almighty. To point people in a different direction. To put obstacles in their way. Not just to non-Christians, but to us here. It says in Psalm 135, if I get that flicking on, yep. I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods, with a small g. So I said, look, what is a God? What is a God? This is some of the definitions. A spirit or being that has great power, strength, knowledge, etc., that can affect nature and the lives of people. One of various spirits or beings worshipped in some religions. A being imperfect in power, wisdom. A being object that is worshipped as having more than natural attributes and powers. And I thought, how many religions are there out there? We know about Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Shintoism. There are thousands and thousands of false religions. And some are Bible-based. If you speak to a Jehovah's Witness, they'll have a similar Bible to you. Mormons. But I'm thinking, well, actually, when I look at people today in this society, they have no interest in a God at all. There isn't even a spiritual awareness. But as I explored this, I want to put something to you this morning, because, press the button. Creative, powerful, everywhere, and knowledgeable. That is what we expect of our God. That's what we expect of our God. But as I started looking at this, in society where man and woman have no interest in spirituality, is it possible that there are false gods appearing and we don't realize? Science. Look how science has improved things. I've been looking at programs on electric cars. I'll never be able to afford one. And the idea that you can create power out of nothing seems impossible. Until 2 weeks ago, on a Sunday morning at 8 o'clock on Discovery Channel, I watched this program, and there's a development of a car in Germany which goes into production in 2023, crowdfunded. And this car has batteries, you can plug it in and recharge them, nothing else, but the whole of the bodywork is made up of solar panels, which you can't see, it's within the framework. And they say, you drive it to work, it stands out in the sun, and that puts 15 miles of charge into the battery. Enough for the average person to go to work and come back home, charges up. Suddenly, power out of nothing. Mankind is sending rockets into the skies since the 1960s and before. We've put man on the moon. We put a rocket into Mars looking for water. Looking for the meaning of life. Is there life in Mars? We're sending a new one out, gone out the other way, millions of miles to track and look at the planets, seemingly for two purposes. To understand how we all began, and is there life out there? The very things that God created, man is trying to find out these things on their own behalf. Medicine. What incredible advance for me personally, having had a cancer treatment. I've got six scars where six probes were put into me, all done robotically in my operation, and I'm seen to be well. Amazing. Look at the cancer treatments that are changing. Look at the fact we're extending life now. When my father died in 1992, the age of 72 was the average age for a man to live. Now we're in our 80s. But the question I put the challenge to is, the level of life better for living longer? If I live to 100 years of old and Louise lives, we can have 80 years of marriage. I said to Louise recently, I don't want to live that long. No offense to Louise, I want to have some quality. But the thing that kept me through my days of going through the cancer treatment was that simple fact, God knows my days. That security in Him, and yet now we look to medicine. Louise is going through quite a problem at the moment, so they're trying to get her into a scan because they don't know what it is. But because they can't feel the problem, though she's in agony, they can't send her for an emergency scan. She's got to just join the queue. So I'm praying the scan comes up. But there's been major, major. And I listened to a program about a year or two back. They reckon by the year 2000, the end of this century, man could live forever. Man could live forever. Is that man's prerogative? Would it not be selective? But man is extending life. We're also dabbling into the DNA, the fundamentals of you, to cure things, to see why you're different, trying to find out why you're a burglar or a thief and such like. I can search my family through DNA. I discovered I'm related to my hairdresser, I've told you. And I still don't get family discount. And then we have technology. This is a great one. Text Louise, I love you.
Ready to send it?
Send. Look at that.
Okay, it's sent.
Thank you. What is life?
Depends on who you ask. Aristotle would say happiness. Cookie Monster would say cookies. They both have a point.
Tell me about God.
That may be beyond my abilities at the moment.
But this machine, I can know where I'm going. Oh, big question. Where's the nearest McDonald's?
Okay, check it out.
I got five. But technology has moved on so fast. This phone, I can find out where I'm going. I can ask questions. I don't need you because... Find me a wife.
That may be beyond my abilities at the moment.
But everything is on a phone. I can get any question answered. I don't need a God anymore. I don't need to spend hours in prayer because I just talked to this machine. I read, the Internet Society said this, the Internet is knowledge and knowledge is power. That's scary. Whose knowledge? How does one use power? And yet, you go on the web and you see conspiracy and conspiracy. Is the internet a god? Well, I don't worship it. But the question I put to you is, does it distract you from worshiping the Lord Almighty? Does it get in the way of your faith? I have to say, I spend a lot of time of the day on my laptop doing work and doing on the internet. It gets in the way. When your broadband goes down, life comes to a halt. I'm dependent upon it. Louise had a debit card scam, so she had to be cancelled to wait for a new one. And for those 5 days, she couldn't do anything. She couldn't buy anything. We saved a fortune. But I mean, the fact is, she was limited by that. We don't use cash anymore. And I start to wonder, and there's a thing called synthism. This is a relatively new religious movement, however, called synthism, that maintains that God exists as a creation of mankind. God exists as a creation of mankind. Satan's job is to lead you astray from worshipping the Lord Almighty. Satan's job is to deceive people. Satan's job is to slip you up and cause you to be tempted and do things you shouldn't do. Satan's job is to stop people worshipping the one true God. And when I look at my own children and society around, the world is not based upon a recognition there is a God out there somewhere. It is recognizing in the Western world, I don't need a God at all. I have no requirement. I'm self-contained. This verse just thrills me. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. And that question comes in is, where do you I put our trust? I accept all those omnis. I have no problem with it. But on the day-to-day use, I often go to the web. If I had my way, I would shut down Facebook, Twitter, and a lot of these social, because I see them causing problems. And my biggest issue is the Christian use of it. I've read Christians put posts up, and I go, that's awful. You shouldn't have said that. That is terrible things you're saying. We're encouraged to do that. I'd stop it. And now they're called meta. You go into a meta world in a false reality. And it's opened up a couple of weeks ago. And the first thing happened the first day, three men went in as men and sexually assaulted a female on it. All in this unreal universe. Evil attracts evil. I don't understand the meta world. But their characters did a sexual assault. And the idea was it wouldn't have any of these problems in it. Man will always take anything and corrupt it. When the Gutenberg press created the first Bible in print, we thought, that's it. And look at the books that are written now. The internet was a great invention of innocence, and now it's been corrupted. Whatever, and all these things are not inventions of man. It's discovering God's original laws in his omnipotence and omnificent, his creation. The devil corrupts for his purposes. The Lord Almighty, the one and only true God, is omnificent, omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. He is our Lord. And that should determine how we behave. And I'm looking in the mirror now. Because I keep saying to myself, well, if the Western society is turning away from the God that we follow, what is the answer? And I keep coming back to the same answer I've been saying, I felt from this pulpit for 6 months. Only you and I can display God to a world around that needs them. To my kids, to my grandchildren. My kids have all made professions but don't go to church now. My friends, my extended family, in-laws. How do I show and demonstrate this God? This almighty God that had the power to save me and change me. How do I put that over? The omnis, they're long words. The words I do not use in day-to-day conversations, but the implication of each word has transformed my life. That I can talk to God, I can share with God, I can pray and discuss my issues to a God that's standing next to me, hearing everything I say and is actively involved. I'm not joining a queue. Isn't it frustrating when internet goes slow? One of the big problems why your internet broadband is going up 9% this year, they're all doing it, is because more people are using the internet from home. And people were now saying, I didn't know the internet went down so much. Now I'm working from home. And of course, you can't do anything. We can't use our television. Although we've got a satellite, I can't see the Disney Channel. I can't go to Prime. I can't order something at 2 o'clock in the afternoon that will arrive 4 hours later. How do they make money at it? And Prime are the only people. Amazon's the only people that does this. They have a monopoly. I have a Kindle. I can't get books from anywhere else. I'm being drawn to a world where I no longer have the choices I used to have. I suggest to you, it's a slippery slope. You may say, Barry, you're just old and grumpy. I am. But I realize the devil's tricks are just the same. To distract me from worshipping the one true God. Now you're going to say, well, hold on, Barry, I still worship him. But I'll guarantee for each of you, there are times when you don't because the world gets in the way. And I have that as well. And I'm having to learn this, especially during this whole COVID 2 years, that the world is different to what I think. And I feel this small at times. But then I go, my God is this big. As I said in my prayer, he's omnipotent, and there's my father. And when I stand in the playground, I know my dad is standing behind me. No kid's going to attack me. But he'll try. So who is God? He's my friend and saviour. Let's have a word of prayer. And I'll hand back to John. Lord, you know the words I've said. A bit of shock and make us think. But Lord, the world is changing. And to hear that fact is people think we're in a post-Christian era where less people are going to church saddens us all. And some of the stats say since people are coming back into churches, only 35 to 70% are actually coming back into churches. Not necessarily lost their faith, but choosing to be at home. Some for very good reason. But Lord, help us to be those shining lights. That town on a hill that stands up bright and people come to find out more. I pray, Lord, that in our daily walk, we can just be that ambassador for you. A Jesus ambassador that shares the good news in our voice, in our expressions, and the way we listen, the way we look, and the way we behave. We're made in your image, Lord, and yet sometimes we feel so weak and inadequate. But Lord, you're omnipotent. You're everywhere. You have all knowledge and all wisdom. And I thank you, Lord, that in all the things you've done, you have time for me. Amen.
Amen.